Nebraska, USC, and Penn State headline Big Ten Media Days today. Miami and Louisville get their turn over at ACC Media Days, along with a couple others. And Keith Olbermann tells Major League Baseball to implode the St. Louis Cardinals Stadium, similar to how his career imploded. Check it out and more on the Wednesday edition. Crane and Company. Hey, if you believe in common sense and you like old school sports shows, however you listen to us, like you are now, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, we all know people, or we've heard the stories about people who married their high school sweethearts. Heck, maybe some of y'all. And it's an awesome thing when that happens. But then there are the times when marrying your high school sweetheart ends in an absolute disaster. And I think that's kind of how Nebraska fans must have felt after having to finalize the divorce with Scott Frost a couple years ago. See, sometimes branching out and meeting new people outside of your safe zone or what you're used to turns out to be the best option. Maybe someone like Matt Rhule. Now, he may not be as good looking as your old flame. He may not have provided the Husker faithful with rings and memories from a time ago that bring a smile to everybody's face. But I tell you what Matt Rhule can do. He can create new memories. He can create new smiles. And he may turn out to be the guy that by going outside of the inner circle is the catalyst to return back to those good times you miss so much. Right now, Nebraska isn't the butt of the joke. They're actually trending upwards. And they're bringing in the type of players at the most important positions that can return Nebraska to where they believe they truly belong. And that's amongst the big dogs of college football. Now, they aren't there yet, but Matt the Builder, he's turning the tide. One could even say he's preparing for a big harvest season. So maybe Frost as a coach was more good luck Chuck than hometown hero who won state and was the prom king. And like I said, sometimes going outside of the comfort zone can end up making you the most comfortable. We shall see, but Nebraska fans should be confident because the future looks brighter than it has in a very long time. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. We're going to break down their schedule and break down their team, but it does seem when you talk about Nebraska and you hear people talking about Nebraska, it's no longer, hey, you're a fossil, you're a dinosaur, you guys will never be trending upward or have a chance to get back to where you were. Not saying you'll go on some crazy run like they did during the 90s and before that when they had Stunkeiler and Hufenhauser and Schnagenbacher and those all those guys.
Look, Schnagenbacher was good.
Schnagenbacher was good. Definitely a guard. But David, Nebraska, there's hope. And there should be hope. I watched Dylan Raiola, right? He's going to go through the ups and downs. So we're going to get into the team. But if you're a Nebraska fan, right now, in this snapshot in time, how are you not more confident for not only this year, but for the future, right? I mean, do you feel that the way I feel it?
Sure. Nebraska football hasn't had a winning season in 8 years.
That's wild.
8 years. I had to triple check it when I saw this stat today. That is absolutely unacceptable. When you talk about the greatness of the Nebraska football brand, how storied this program is, the support that they get from the fans you're talking about, what, 50-year sellout record of the stadium? I mean, Nebraska fans are so diehard. I love it, and they keep showing up, even though this program hasn't had a winning season in 8 years. I wasn't super pumped about the Matt Rhule hire right when it happened.
Because it's not sexy.
It's not sexy, but then again, and that's a conversation we had a year ago. Like, does Nebraska need a sexy hire to break an 8-year trend of not even having a winning season? Or is Matt Rhule the kind of guy who can come in and do similar things to what you were saying that Brian Kelly could do at LSU? Come in and be the stepdad sort of figure that you didn't know you needed, but this is what you need right now as a program. But then watching what Matt Rhule did last year, especially the PR, the way he marketed himself as the head coach to set the tone and the culture with the videos in the locker room and things like that, I was all about it. I loved it. And I mean, look, it just shows you how important the quarterback position is, that that's really what held them back a season ago. And even then, they were on the cusp of making a bowl game. So 8 seasons since they've had a winning year. They're going to have to start Dylan Raiola at quarterback. There's going to be growing pains with a young guy like that. But when we look at this schedule, you guys look at this and tell me, if it's so front-loaded or back-loaded, really, front-loaded favorably. You couldn't ask for anything more if you're going to start a young guy at quarterback.
Yeah, and Blaine, Nebraska and Matt Rhule kind of reminds me of Ryan Reynolds from the Just Friends movie.
Okay.
Remember in high school?
Great movie.
They made fun of him. You know, he wasn't like the cool guy that had the motorcycle and was the quarterback, whatever. But then all of a sudden, you flash forward, late 20s, early 30s. Now he's looking like the best guy that could have taken the job over, including Scott Frost, who is a, and he'll always be a legend. The way it went down with Scott Frost in Nebraska will never take away from what he did as a player. Sure. I want to make sure I point that out. But Matt Rhule's looking like the best guy in town to go ahead and saddle up to. And, oh, he's vice president of the construction company. Mm. He drives a Tesla, right? He's been playing the stock market good.
Yeah, well, see, I'm not one of the guys who just preseason drinks the Kool-Aid of certain teams. But regardless of the brand, if you look at Nebraska's football team this year, it feels like it's year 3 with Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Like, it really does. You're bringing back a freshman quarterback. I mean, you're bringing in a freshman quarterback. We don't know. Is he a great talent? For sure. They could go 10-2 or 4-8. Right, was that? But you look at last year, right, with winning 5 games, they had a minus 17 turnover differential. Mm-hmm. That is crazy. And if you get that down to 13 or 12, they're probably bowl eligible. What, your top 3 in the nation and bringing back what? Production on both sides of the ball, a great defense. And what hurt you the most last year? That was quarterback. And now you bring in the phenom, the guy who can change it all, who I've seen a couple clips. I mean, he looks talented. But right now, if you look at this Nebraska team, they're one of those teams this year that could be a dark horse to make the playoff.
And well,
it's not like this will be the last year, I think, that Nebraska will be irrelevant in college football.
Well, I think Tony White not going anywhere at the end of last year with the season Nebraska had defensively. Don't forget, it wasn't just like they were good at one thing or they could stop one style of offense. Like, I watched them literally play multiple games against totally different schemes and systems, especially in the beginning of the year, and they were able to shut down both of them. The game plan they had for Colorado, and look, I know Colorado was absolute garbage up front, right? But the game plan that Tony White and them put together at Nebraska kept them in that game. Then you look at a team like they played Minnesota early last year, which is totally different. I think this team has better players. I think the players are better, including quarterback. I would take Dylan Raiola, who has not taken a legitimate college snap in a game, over Jeff Sims right now. Last year, their leading rusher was the backup quarterback that came in and replaced Sims, Harburg or whatever his last name was. Mm-hmm. So when I look around him, the talent's better. I think the talent's going to be better up front. And then defensively, you look at this unit, this could be a top 10 defense in the country with Tony White there, with better players, with kind of what they did through the portal. I like the way they're built. I like their future. Anytime you have a new quarterback, we've said this about Nico, especially a young guy. We've said this about Jackson Arnold. We said this about Lenora Sellers. You can go down the list, SEC, Big Ten, ACC, whatever. You're going to have ups and downs. But I think Dylan Raiola may be the most ready to play early outside of guys that played last year in the bowl game, right?
So
Nico did, right? And Jackson did, honestly. But Jackson, you know, turned the ball over a decent amount. You're going to have ups and downs. But we're going to bring up the schedule. I think Dylan Raiola, he's close to ready.
And Nebraska's in a different position than Tennessee is, right, Josh Heupel?
For sure.
A couple more years. But I agree with you. Like, they're in a position as a program where you have to start Dylan Raiola. Just being the highest-rated recruit that you brought in a long time and being a Nebraska legacy. Now, I say all that saying if things are fairly comparable in camp, right? Like, the kid just can't go out and underperform and, like, win the job. And Matt Rhule wouldn't allow someone to win the job. But you understand there's going to be growing pains. But I want to ask both of you guys this, being coaches. The standard for Nebraska is to align themselves at the top of the conference with Michigan, with the Buckeyes, even with Penn State and what Wisconsin's been able to do in the conference. How do you set that as your goal while also, you know, prepping people that 7-5 is very possible, 8-4 is very possible, and that is a good thing and that's positive momentum?
Well, you know, I say the same thing about Auburn. In the situation that they're in, you know, the standard should never change, right? Because the minute the standard changes, you fall behind the rest of the big dogs. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to think they're the best looking person when they walk into the bar. That's how you have to operate. But on the other hand, reality does have to be accepted at points. knowing that the standard is that high, but realizing we're building because of circumstances, whether the head coach didn't work out and you got a bunch of guys taken out of the transfer portal. People still understand that even with the new transfer portal rules, building a team does take time. I used to think a coach had three years before this transfer portal stuff. Now you have two. So I think Nebraska fans who, by the way, I've told you guys multiple times, I think Nebraska may have the smartest fans in college football because whenever the road team, when we were at South Alabama and we went and played up there, we're used to people, you know, flicking us off, telling us we suck when we get off the bus and we land. These people were, hey, guys, welcome to Lincoln. I was having to tell my guys it was reverse psychology. They're trying to lull us to sleep so we don't go out there and play as vicious as usual. Even at halftime of a game we're losing, we're running back in the locker room. Nebraska fans are like, you guys can do it. Like, y'all can do it. It was the craziest thing ever. So the standard should never change, but there's points where reality has to be accepted. I think Nebraska, listen, if you've waited this long, yeah. I think you can wait one more year of 8-4 to finally have a chance to get back to that precipice. I do want to pull their schedule up. We got the phone lines open at 2:45 p.m. Central. There is no guest today. We want to hear from you guys. Doesn't matter what you want to talk about. We want to hear from y'all. Going to get to the chat as well in a minute. But let's go ahead and bring up Nebraska's schedule. Because, boys, I want us to go through this game by game, and you guys tell me win or loss right now. Again, not going to hold you to it. We got to see what happens in fall camp. Those are our final predictions, which I can't wait for. But UTEP, week one, I think we can agree, win.
Yep, win.
Right? Colorado, week two. It's a revenge game for Nebraska. They can catch a snap. I still don't think Colorado's good enough up front. I think that's a win.
I agree.
Northern Iowa, I think that's a win. Illinois at home, I think that's a win. I think Nebraska starts out 4-0. Then you go to Purdue. And some people are saying Purdue's being slept on. To a certain extent, I think Ryan Walters is going to get it figured out there. He was his first year as a head coach last year. But I like Nebraska in that game.
I do too.
At Purdue. Then you get Rutgers at home. Hell, David, I like them in that game.
They could start 6-0.
They could legitimately start 6-0. And then you go to Indiana. Kurt Cignetti is a dog. I don't think people are talking enough about how much of an absolute grinder and legitimate savant that Kurt Cignetti is. But it's going to take time at Indiana. I would not be shocked if Nebraska starts 7-0 and then gets their ass beat at Ohio State.
Yeah.
But then you come back and play UCLA at home.
Winnable game.
Very winnable. Go to USC. Let's just chalk that one up to a loss. All right? Let's say you're sitting at that point and you're what? 8-2 with two left? Then you got Wisconsin at home, which I think is a winnable game. And then let's say you go lose at Iowa. Boys, that's 9-3 right there. Mm-hmm. You go 9-3 in year two, they'll start naming the corn after Matt Rhule.
I mean, it's very possible they start 7-0 now because of a young quarterback. Let's just say, hey, it's 5-2 instead. Let's say you can't figure out the Shedeur Sanders problem. Colorado ends up beating you at home and you lose to either Illinois or Rutgers. Even if you start 5-2 before that game at the Buckeyes, which I think is the only surefire loss on the schedule, at 5-2 there in your first seven, you're only a win away from the projected win total for the season,
and
isn't that what you said?
Yeah, 7.5.
Oh, 7.5. Okay, well, then you'd be two wins away, but still. And it is back heavy, those last five. That's not a lot of fun, but yeah, I think you're going to be competitive.
Well, I do think we can't sit up here and act like Illinois and Purdue and Rutgers aren't a tough out.
No, and this is a big
thing. And with a new quarterback, Illinois, that's one team I'm very interested in this year. I'm sure we'll talk about it. Brett Bielema team, Purdue, not a talented roster, but it's on the road. And Rutgers, every time you play Rutgers, it's a four-quarter slugfest.
Well, what scares you about Purdue is it is a new quarterback in Dylan Raiola, and that's his first road game. And Ryan Walters is a defensive guy. So they're going to have something put together for him. You know, it's typically a little bit of everything. It's not one thing. It's not like we're just going to pressure him the whole game. You do a lot of things. You show and you go. You show and you bluff. You bluff and you go. So that one, okay. Illinois at home, I like Nebraska in that game. I don't think they have enough firepower. Rutgers, I think, is a little bit slept on. I think Greg Schiano may be the only person on the planet that can win games at Rutgers. You know they're going to be good defensively. I've got to see the offense in the second year there. And again, anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. But I think if we're sitting here looking at it preseason, man, I mean, 6-0, 5-1 is incredibly doable. But it starts with that Colorado game September
6th. Yeah, it does.
That needs to be the snowball game that gets it rolling downhill in a good way. A lot of people are high on Colorado. We're not super high on Colorado here. I think Nebraska is the team that more people should be high on, that we should be talking about more of having that breakthrough season where I don't think they get into the playoff, but I think just the fact that we may be talking about Nebraska as a possible playoff team still on November 2nd and November 10th, I think that would be incredible for that program.
And regarding the scheduling, look, that's what the Big Ten wants. They want you to look at a schedule like that and for no team to be an automatic out, right? That's one of the things that makes predicting the SEC schedules so difficult because there is such carnage. So, I mean, look, the Big Ten would love nothing more than the middle and the bottom of the conference to be much stronger so that all of those games are competitive.
Yeah, and who do you not see on there? You don't see Penn State.
No Michigan.
You don't see Michigan. You don't see Oregon. You don't see Washington, who I think is going to take a step back just naturally with the attrition they had there all across the board. We want to know what you think. Going to get to the chat in a second, but first, if you want to bet on some over-unders, some win totals, well, we got the best sports book out there. It's betonline.ag. Head over there to place your bets today. Yeah. You can bet on anything, sports, politics. Hell, if there's a moth flying outside, they'll probably be able to bet on what time it lands and where. That's betonline.ag. It's a really easy website to navigate. This is the one we use, the payouts. They make it very simple. There's multiple methods to get paid out. You don't have to worry about that. And if you want higher than average betting limits of up to $25,000, they got it. You can increase it by contacting their player service desk by phone or email. So go to betonline.ag to place your bets today. Use promo code BOOSTER, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R. You get a 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250, people. That's betonline.ag. Use that promo code BOOSTER. Bet online, where the options are endless. So here's the fun. All right, let's get to the chat here.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate on topic, it will get read. We're going to start it off with Jericho. Jericho, what's up, man? He says, lifelong Husker fan. Born and raised in the good life, and I'm definitely drinking the Kool-Aid, a.k.a. Husker Punch. Go Big Red. Do you think our offensive line will be good enough to hold up this year?
I think they will be. I don't think they're going to be elite. I think the defensive line is going to be the strength when you're comparing the two on the line of scrimmage. But what I do like and what I think you'll see in you know from Nebraska offensively this year is Dylan Raiola gets the ball out pretty decently quick. I think they're going to make it a little bit easier for him early. Right, I don't think we're going to get the, hey, you take two plays up to the line of scrimmage. I think he'll have the ability to check with me on the sideline where if they want to change something. But with a young quarterback, right, it's just like a pitcher in baseball. You want to get them in the groove. Let's have some easy throws. Let's spit the bubble out there. Let's spit the now out there. Let's run some quick games, some hitches, some slants to get him in the groove and then let him start pumping that deep ball, right, starting to throw that slider later in the game to get guys out. So I think you take a little bit of pressure off the offensive line with that. Now, if we're looking at the run game, right, with being able to run the ball on the ground, I think Dylan Raiola can give you a little bit of that RPO game if you want. He runs just well enough to be a threat. The question with Dylan Raiola to me, and it's a question with most of the young quarterbacks, is one, are you going to try and force things that aren't there? Which means, yeah, are you smart enough to throw the ball away? Are you smart enough to throw the check down? Or do you try and say, look, I'm a phenom. I'm going to be the best Nebraska quarterback since, you know, who knows when. I'm going to try and go force things. So there's ways to alleviate maybe the offensive line not being the best. But I think Nebraska will be good enough. They'll have enough quality up front to be able to operate within the system that Matt Rhule and that coaching staff wants to operate underneath.
Let's go to Titan Del Ruiz. What's up, man? He says, how do you name a whole episode off a question that can be answered in one word? I promise you, boys, no. Nebraska is not back.
Well, it worked to get you in here. What I'll say is the return to greatness, and this is actually kind of goes back to what David was saying. The question isn't, will the return to greatness happen right now in 2024? Nebraska will make the playoff and do all this. It's returning to greatness is something that is built up over time, and then you get that result. My whole point of the opening, and I think the whole point of what we were talking about in that first segment, was that Nebraska has all the things in order, the confidence, the alignment, the personnel, the coaching staff, and obviously the fan base and the donors and everybody, to give them the best chance to return to greatness. It's not a Nebraska's going undefeated this year, they're going to win the national championship. Nobody's saying that, my friend. What we're saying is it feels like for the first time in a long time that the Nebraska train is on the tracks and they're headed to Rainbow Land, right? It's just, they're heading toward having a chance to get back to the spot where they feel like they belong. It's a process.
I also feel like remaining competitive in football has never been more important than right now. I mean, sure, you always want to be good or else you suffer as a brand or you don't get the big recruits for the next year. But we're seeing such seismic shifts in college football right now where there's this, you know, accumulation of different brands and conference realignment and talk of private equity coming in to, you know, create super leagues. Well, if that's the case, you want to be one of the brands that makes it into the Super League. Remaining competitive right now has never been more important.
Agree 100%.
Let's go to Mr. Husker, hashtag ask the boys. What do you think Nebraska's greatest weakness is with this team? Also, do you think Nebraska could be a sleeper team to make a run in the conference, screw Iowa, and go Big Red?
Well, with that schedule, I think you got a chance to maybe ruin somebody late. I'll go back to that week two game against Colorado. I think that's the one. Not that one game defines a season, especially in how with a 12-team playoff, but that is the one that is going to set you up for the rest of the year and garner some momentum for a young quarterback. The weakness to me is easy, and it ain't on defense. It's you are going to start a very, very young quarterback that has to go through the ups and the downs of playing the position at an extremely high level. UTEP, to me, is a perfect game one for him. Is UTEP just an absolute disaster? No. Is Nebraska better than they are at pretty much every position? Yes. We go back, and David, I want you to speak to this. With young quarterbacks, and again, I'll throw Nico in there. I'll throw Jackson Arnold in there. I'll throw Lenore Sellers in there. I'll throw Avery Johnson in there from Kansas State. There's going to be mistakes, mm-hmm. especially early, as you learn. It's just like life. The question is, can the team around you survive those early mistakes and still be able to win as you're learning? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Yeah, and the best friend for any young quarterback are the pieces that you have around you, not just skill pieces, not just a great receiver here or a great running back, but how good is that defense? I mean, I got told as a sophomore in high school when I was starting for the first time, you're the starting quarterback right now because you don't fumble the football. There's 2,000 yards backs behind you.
Yeah.
Get them the ball without fumbling on a consistent basis and you'll remain the starting quarterback. Now, obviously that's different than being named the guy at Nebraska, and the game has changed significantly. We're in an era now where the quarterback has to play spatially so well when you talk about what Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are doing. But hey, if you can get that running game and you can get the defense in order, Nebraska can start a young guy at quarterback with that schedule and have a winning football season.
Without a doubt. All right, I want to move on to Penn State, guys. I want to stay in the Big Ten, because the more I look at Penn State and we talk about quarterbacks, when you look at this roster on a defense, I know Chop Robinson is gone, but they're going to be damn good once again. Penn State is going to have a chance to have a top five defense in the country. You bring in Julian Fleming from Ohio State at wide receiver, right? I believe you did lose a couple pieces, but when it comes to Drew Allen, you lost three guys on the offensive line, including one of the top draft picks. Mm-hmm. In this new offense, and not a lot of people talked about this, James Franklin, after they averaged 13.5 points a game, guys, they averaged 36 points a game around there overall for the season. They averaged 13.5 points a game against Michigan and Ohio State. All right? Now, we don't have divisions anymore, but in the games you have to win to ascend, even now in the Big Ten, I think getting Scott Nicky from Kansas, the OC, a guy that is an absolute witch with formations, with motions, got some Petrino in him. When you look at that, I think it's going to be a much better system for Drew Aller, because I feel like Drew Aller last year was the kid they sheltered all the way until they went off to college, and then they get alcohol poisoning week two. Not that Drew Aller, he had like a 20 touchdown to two interception ratio, but they never put him in harm's way. They never really gave him the keys in big games to be able to go out there. And I go back and I watch tape, and he still struggles to make the routine throws routine. But I think this offense and this new coaching staff will help. I truly believe that. But around him, we talk about hinge players. We talked about it last year. The season hinges. They got all the other pieces, but they need this guy. Drew Aller, I know he plays a quarterback position, may be the biggest hinge player in all of college football when it comes down to a team being able to fulfill their potential. And we're going to have to wait and see. And that's going to be a question. But this Penn State team is absolutely loaded everywhere else.
I'll continue to say Drew Aller at Penn State and Cade Klubnik at Clemson are two quarterbacks around the country who I don't think have reached their ceiling, and they need to reach or get close to their ceiling in order for those two programs to accomplish what they're accustomed to accomplishing. I know Penn State fans aren't happy with James Franklin after 10 years having not performed up to expectations of making the college football playoff. But out of those 10 seasons, he's won double-digit games half the times, five of those seasons. And when you look at the schedule and you're talking about the four betting favorites to win the Big Ten Conference, well, of those, Penn State, you're one of them.
Yep.
And of the other three, you don't play two of them. They don't play Michigan. They don't play Oregon, right? They're benefiting from not having divisions in the conference anymore, and they get the Buckeyes at home November 2nd. Again, That's a recipe for success in the conference.
It is. Go and pull up their schedule and play. I want to know what you think about Penn State, though.
Well, I think as long as Drew Aller is quarterback, they're never going to achieve what they want to achieve. I don't.
Be close.
As close as they usually get, which is, what, 9-10 games?
Even with the new offense and
no, I don't believe in Drew Aller that much. I've seen him play. The stats are one thing, and I know, but I've seen him play against the best, and it's not good enough. Like, even you go, where's the Ohio State game? At Penn State? It doesn't matter. You're not good enough to win that game. And don't think, we're going to go through this schedule. That week one game at West Virginia,
that's
nothing to walk by because those boys aren't here to mess around.
I think they're
but again, that's not a conference game, on the road.
True.
I want to say this about Drew Aller. I think, obviously, the player not making the plays, you can blame the player. And technically, and you look the way he throws the ball, has he gotten better than he was? A little bit, yes, but it's not near close to what it needs to be. I don't think they gave him a chance to really throw the ball that much in those big games. I think they baby-proofed the big games for him. And when you do that, you stunt the growth. It's like letting a five-year-old lift weights. You're stunting their growth or drink coffee. That's what I felt like they did with Drew Aller. So I think we compare Drew Aller to like DJU, right? We've seen more of DJU than we have of Drew Aller, but at least they gave DJU a chance to try and be a legitimate passer of the ball, whether it was at Clemson. Oregon State was a little bit different with what they did, and they had Damian Martinez. But I'm interested to see if the reins are actually let off of Drew Aller, if he can make that jump. I don't know if he can.
Like, when it comes to passing and attempts, it's different. You threw it 42 times against Ohio State last year. You threw it 42 times against Ohio State last year. Hell, I don't know if you can throw it any more than that, and you scored 12 points. It's not like that. I feel like Penn State wants Drew Aller to become Drew Aller. But he's just not. Some guys just don't turn in the guy we expect him to be.
Well, if he's not the guy than you thought, then get his ass out.
I agree. And I said that last year when we
saw
the backup.
But they're not. They're riding.
We saw the backup come in, and that spark hit.
In the bowl game?
In the bowl game, that spark hit. And what can the backup do? He can move. Mm-hmm. He can run.
But can he throw it? That's the question.
Well, obviously, he's going to hurt a little bit. The rarer the guys are the guys who are mobile and have great accuracy.
Well, I
would almost take that hit a little bit on throwing because, hell, Drew Aller could sit back there and can't run and can't throw.
That's what I was going to say. Listen, if y'all both can't throw, please, one of y'all be able to run at least. All right, here's this Penn State schedule. At West Virginia, week one. Boys, West Virginia is a 10.5-point dog at home. We have some friends of the show that invited us out there. Will we go out there? I don't know where we're working out right now. But that game is going to be, look, West Virginia is as confident as Matthew McConaughey walking into sorority right now. So that's a dangerous game. I mean, they burn furniture when they're happy. Just think about that. Then they play David's favorite old coach, Scott Loeffler, at Bowling Green week two. They basically play a max schedule the next 2 weeks. They play Bowling Green. Then they get to absolutely murder Kent State live on national television. Then you get Illinois at home. You should be better than them. You get UCLA at home. You should be better than them. And then you go play USC. And I know we're going to bring USC schedule up here, David, so I don't want to jump the gun too much. But is that going to be the game? Because there's so much uncertainty with LSU about how good they're going to be on the line of scrimmage on defense, right? We know how good they're going to be on offense. Is that the game where we really find out if USC is going to be able to compete in this conference?
Oh, Miller Moss, baby.
Look, that's one of the games Drew Aller can win and not throw the ball.
That is true. Well, I think Illinois is. I think UCLA is. I for damn sure know Bowling Green and Kent State is. But then they go to Wisconsin.
Interesting.
To play Luke Fickell. Then you get Ohio State at home. Then you get Washington at home. Then you go to Purdue. You go to Minnesota. Go row the boat out there. And then you get Maryland at home. David, and again, we don't do our predictions till after fall camp. Got to see what happens. Is Penn State a college football playoff team in your mind?
Mm. Man, I'm going to say no right now with Oregon coming into the conference and with how good the Buckeyes are going to be now. Like I said, they do escape Michigan. So that's where things are really going to get interesting. And that's to where the non-conference games could come into play when you start talking about West Virginia.
Very true.
And I still think Michigan hosting Texas. I don't think the loser of that game week two makes the college football playoff. But an opportunity, those games don't have an impact on whether or not you play in the conference championship. And now more than ever, winning that conference championship gives you that automatic qualifier. So I still think Penn State's in a better position than they were when they were playing in the East Division and having to play Michigan.
Oh, without a doubt. Nobody should be happier about getting rid of divisions than Penn State, in my mind. I think they're probably number one. All right, we want to know what you guys think. Going to get to the chat here in 1 second. We do have a big announcement the Daily Wire has made. From the guys who brought you What is a Woman? Comes Am I Racist? Matt Walsh, kind of looking like a Chris from Lady Ballers. He goes deep undercover in the world of diversity, equity, inclusion. Prepare to be shocked by how far Race Hustlers will go and how much further Matt Walsh will go to expose the grift. Uncovering absurdities that will leave you laughing. Look, it's funny. Let's go and play it.
Let's be clear what's happening in this country. It's Nazism. Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up in the 90s, I never thought much about race. Sure, you noticed, but never really seemed to matter that much. At least not to me.
Being a white, straight, cisgender man, it's the top of the pile.
I'm on the top of the pile. That's me. Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
Can you please leave?
If I'm going to sort this out, I need to go deeper undercover. If I want to be an ally, I need to look like one.
What is racism?
Martin Luther King said not to judge people by the...
Martin Luther King said a lot of stuff.
Is America inherently racist?
What the hell is that?
The word inherent is challenging there. America is racist to its bones. All of the...
So inherently.
Yeah.
The entire system has to burn. And I'm not going to even use save this country. This country is not worth saving. This country is a piece of shit.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
They gon' say I'm racist.
Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certification. Where are you guys on your anti-racist journeys?
So I'll look around the room and point to who we believe is the most racist person in the room.
We want to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument. Would you mind signing it? You will? What do you think about this issue of heteronormativity and how it intersects with the broader structures of racism in society?
They gonna say I'm racist.
What's up with white people? What are you doing to decenter your whiteness?
Who's making it the center? Why are they doing that?
And what you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. This is more for you in this field.
White
folks,
white
trash,
white supremacy,
white woman,
white boy,
white
entitlement,
white
centering,
white
silence.
Is there a black person around here?
There's a black person right here. Does he not exist?
They gonna say I'm racist, but they call everybody racist.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. And what's your name?
I'm Matt.
Matt, hi, yeah. Matt.
Nice to meet you.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
They gonna say you racist, but they call everybody racist.
Matt's wild, man. It's not just a documentary. It's a social experiment, and it will be released in theaters on September 13th, 2024. All right, let's get back to the chat, Blaine. Let's talk some football.
All right, let's go to Andrew W. Andrew, what's up, brother? He says, hey, guys, just so for your information, so you know, James, this is all in caps, too, by the way, James Franklin will never win the big game.
It's funny. You know, we hear this about a lot. James Franklin, Dan Lanning, you know, people used to say Kirby Smart wasn't going to win the big game. I think James Franklin is the only one that we've seen, like, over time, really hasn't been able to get over the hump as more than the other guys, right? Dan Lanning hasn't been in it that long. Kirby has gotten over it. I hope he does. You know, I think James Franklin really does care about his players. I think James Franklin's a damn good football coach. But there's been a lot of time. Like, eventually you do have to do it. Like, we can sit here and say, hey, Dan Lanning's eventually going to do it, right? You think he is. I think they're going to beat Ohio State at home this year in the regular season. But James Franklin, we got a ton of information over time that he struggled to do it. But then I look at the pieces circumstantially. Like, what happened 7 years ago has nothing to do with what's going to happen this year. Can Drew Aller lead them there? I don't see it. And the question is, and we talked about this yesterday with Tim Brando, what happens if another team outside of Ohio State or Michigan wins the Big Ten?
Or gets
What if Oregon wins it? Yeah. Or Iowa sneaks up there, who we're going to talk about. Like, what happens then when you look at Penn State? You know, not only did you get passed over by the two perennial top dogs that were in your same division, now other people are coming in the neighborhood, taking your remote and making your wife cook a mistake.
He did win the Big Ten championship one time.
2016.
That was in his third season in 2016.
Yeah, so it's been a while. All right, one more.
All right, let's go to Sandusky's Innocent. What's up, man? Do you think Drew Aller will be the starter for the entire season for Penn State?
Wow, that handle. I can't even get over that handle.
I'm going to say yes. I actually think we see a little bit of growth from Drew Aller. I think it's going to look a little bit better, and a lot of that is going to be because of the offensive change. I think they're going to scheme guys more open formationally, right? The combinations on the outside are going to be a little bit different. I like Fleming. I like some of the pieces around him. I do think Drew Aller's going to be the starter. And look, man, I hope he figures it out, because I do think, you know, he checks most of the boxes. He just doesn't check the most important one at quarterback. Can you throw it accurately, consistently? If you can't do that, you're not going to win. All right, last one.
Let's go to Mike P. What's up, Mike? Do you trust the skill players around Drew Aller this year to take them to the playoffs?
As much as I have any year. You know, and they've had pieces in the past. I mean, just look to last year. I know Singleton and Allen, I believe, are gone in the backfield. But I think the pieces around Aller are good enough. And again, that defense is going to be phenomenal. And they lost Chop Robinson, if you think about it. But look what they returned. I mean, the secondary got a ton of experience there in the front seven. I mean, they're going to be headbutting and high strutting. And that's what you want out of those guys. All right, let's move on. The phone lines are going to open here in 7 minutes, 1-855-236-3228. Boys, let's go to USC. Let's stick in the Big Ten. And this is a fascinating conversation to me, because USC fits in the Big Ten about as well as Lizzo fits in running a 5K. It just, especially early, right? And I don't want to turn this into a bash Lincoln Riley fest. He did move on from Alex Grinch. Right, you brought in UCLA's DC. You took that defense from 87th overall to 11th last year. You bring in North Dakota State's head coach, Matt Entz, to coach the linebackers. I think he's trying to change it. But when you look again at the personnel that they have, and we can talk about Bear Alexander, the guy who's, you know, almost transferred more than anybody, I don't think they have the personnel to fit in the Big Ten well early. And philosophically, and from an identity standpoint, David, I don't think this is going to work out for USC, especially in year one.
Man, it's interesting you say that. I mean, I remember playing USC in the Rose Bowl my freshman year, and those are the years when
they
defenses to knock your socks off. I mean, Troy Polamalu, Brian Cushing running
Taylor
around.
Taylor Mays is my favorite.
Brian Cushing can sack the quarterback and cover you in the back third.
Polamalu.
So I know that they have access to that type of talent, right, in recruiting. It's just, it's a mentality standpoint. I still think Lincoln Riley is one of the greatest offensive coaches in the country. The problem is that's only one third of the game, right? Yeah. I think he's addressed the defensive side of the ball. Let's see what happens there. The schedule doesn't favor you in the years when you come into the Big Ten. You also open with LSU and close with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
And Notre Dame's going to be pretty good up front, even though, you know, they did lose their anchor to the draft. I think it was the fifth overall pick to the Titans, I believe, unless I'm losing my mind there. Also about USC, Miller Moss. Look, again, we don't have a big sample size. You got a little Stetson Bennett in him. I think when you watch him play, I'm not saying he is going to be Stetson Bennett, but he kind of reminds me of him a little bit. I don't ever worry. You got Woody Marks, Mississippi State's running back, transferred there, who's a really good player. I don't worry about Lincoln Riley on offense. I really don't. I think offensively, he will find a way to manufacture points. The question is, I think USC is a one-trick pony. And that trick is to just try and you want to outscore everybody to win the game, but they can only really win one way. I don't see USC winning a 17-14 game. And in the Big Ten, sometimes it's going to be like that. And then you look at the weather that you're going to be walking into later in the year. This ain't Southern California, right? This isn't doses and mimosas. You're going up there, it's igloos and F you. That's what it is. So when we bring up USC's schedule, let's go ahead and bring that up. This to me is decently daunting. LSU game one, LSU's got a lot to prove. David and Blaine defensively bringing in Blake Baker. We'll see how that works out. That's never easy. Utah State, no Blake Anderson there, should win. Then you go to Michigan. September 21.
You're dead.
Which is going to be like getting drowned in a puddle of water. It is exactly the opposite of what USC is in my mind. Then you get Wisconsin at home. Winnable.
Different Wisconsin team.
Different Wisconsin. This is the air raid, buddy. Yeah. They're sitting in a bunch of those big cave trolls up front. Then you go to Minnesota, which I do not think is a good matchup for USC. I just don't. With the way PJ and them operate up there, we'll see. Then you get Penn State at home. Then you go to Maryland. Then you get Rutgers at home. You're at Washington. You host Nebraska. You're at UCLA. And then you finish with Notre Dame in that rivalry game. So, boys, I'm looking up there. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It smells 6-6-ish to me, which is going to cause a lot of alarm, right?
Yeah, that won't be good enough. Not with bringing Lincoln Riley over from Oklahoma. I do want to make this point a little more concisely here. If USC does struggle in the Big Ten early, and if it looks like, yeah, I mean, they just don't mesh with the style of football you need to play, I still don't think it's a USC brand problem as much as
I think it's a Lincoln Riley problem. I think you're exactly right.
Again,
I think that's right.
I've seen USC play the style of football. I mean, just remember the Reggie Bush, the 1-2 punch they had with him and Lindell White, you know?
I remember Dominique Bird at tight end.
And play defense. They're going to be fine as a brand in the conference. The question is that going to happen under Lincoln Riley?
But we see the same team almost every year from Lincoln Riley. He's had 3 Heisman winners at quarterback, guys, never won a national championship. That's insane for me to think. But Blaine, the question, and David brings us up, and we want to know in the chat and on the phone lines that are going to open up here in a minute what y'all think. If this does not work out year one for USC, and they just get physically overwhelmed up front, and it just looks like you're fitting a square peg in a round hole, even though Lincoln Riley made that move from Alex Grinchblain, do you think USC won't be able to assimilate into the Big Ten? Not saying you have to do everything that other Big Ten teams do, but do you think USC will never assimilate into the Big Ten unless they make a change at head coach? Because I'll tell you this much, my ass would much rather have Brent Venables as the head coach going into the Big Ten, just like I'd rather have him at Oklahoma going in the SEC than I would Lincoln Riley. Because we want to talk about James Franklin can't win the big game, and Lincoln Riley have won some big games, but they always have the same problem. And this is the worst problem. This would be like if you're allergic to meat and you work in a deli.
I think, one, you can only get punched in the face so many times until you fix it.
But Lincoln Riley's been punched in the face all the time.
And remember, Lincoln Riley ran from the SEC. Let's all be honest.
When do you fix it?
Lincoln ran from the SEC.
They paid him a lot of money.
Soft. You ran.
They paid him a lot of money.
You ran. You went out west when the only teams that play defense are Utah and Oregon and Washington. I'll give that credit, too. But it's a Lincoln Riley problem, not a USC problem. Look what Oregon's doing with Dan Lanning. People want to go play at the Southern California, Hollywood, money. You're in the middle of the mecca of an age where kids just see bright lights and fame. That's all they want. This is a Lincoln Riley problem. And you're about to run into teams in this conference that aren't for the flash, that don't care about wearing wristbands or getting spatted or cool helmets. They just want to run the ball and hit you. You're about to walk into that, and it's not going to be sweet and sugar Halloween all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 6-6 USC team, a 7-5 USC team. And then you start hearing what? That chirping about Lincoln Riley, which we've heard before. You might have gave him the solar system, but sooner or later, God has to come down and tell you you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's get to the chat real quick before we move on to the ACC and then get off my lawn.
Okay, let's go to Cole Satterfield. Cole, what is up? The schedule is way worse than USC for other teams. I do think USC can escape this with 8-9 wins.
8-9 wins. Show me 9 wins on this schedule.
All right, so let's say you
got to beat LSU.
Let's say, well, you'd have to split LSU and Notre Dame, right?
All right, 1-1.
Okay, you beat Utah State. Let's say you beat Michigan. I mean, you go on the road, like, we don't know who's playing quarterback at Michigan. You just go up there and show out. I mean, they can beat Wisconsin. They can beat Minnesota. I mean, Penn State, they're going to go, their season's going to go against Michigan, Penn State, and Nebraska.
I understand what you're saying, but here's the problem. I think that at Minnesota game is a nightmare for them. I think, you know, obviously having Notre Dame, and you brought this up, having Notre Dame and LSU as your out-of-conference is a nightmare. We'll play this game. We'll play the split LSU and Notre Dame game. They're 1-1. I'll give you Utah State. I'll give you Wisconsin, that's 3-1. I'll give you Minnesota, that's 4-1. At Maryland between, I won't give you at Maryland. I think you split one of Maryland and Minnesota either way. I'll give you Rutgers at home. I think that's going to be a key game for Jed Fish and Washington there on November 2nd. But let's say I give that one to you, and then you beat one of Nebraska and at UCLA. UCLA is also a rivalry game with a brand new coach in year one. That's 8, and I'm being nice. I'm being very nice. There's not 9 wins on that schedule. I would be shocked if there is 9 wins on that schedule.
All right, worry a little more about at Minnesota on November 5th than October 5th. I mean, your point still remains just from a
Could be a cold front,
David. Schematic mentality, but yeah, I'd be a lot more worried if there was snow on the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's go to that showbiz. What's up, brother? I don't know, boys. Big Ten is pretty mediocre from an offensive perspective. USC is already a top offense in that conference.
See, okay.
I do think that will keep them in games. I see what he's saying.
And I get where you're pulling from, and it's not a bad bet to bet on Lincoln Riley's offense being pretty good. USC's offensive line, I don't think people realize how bad they were last year. Good friend of ours, Cole Kublik, watched one film. He would almost text me every week. You would not believe how bad USC is on the offensive line. If you think you're going to take a new quarterback and an offensive line that athletically and physically can't do it and go up there in the Big Ten and it's all going to be roses and sweet kisses, well, then there is some desert property in Alaska that I can sell you for a price that will blow your mind. All right, one more and that's it.
Let's go to Joey. Joey, what's up? USC avoiding Oregon/Ohio State is very interesting. Lincoln Riley will score points. He's done it for 10 years. No Grinch is D.C. They could be a sleeper team to win the Big Ten title.
I think there's a better chance to actually get put to sleep than they're a sleeper. Yeah, that's great. You're right. There is no Ohio State. There is no Oregon. The only problem, David, is there's Notre Dame and there's LSU. So, like, I guess optimist, pessimist, it's going to be a fascinating thing. I just wonder if they go 6-6 if we start to hear some chirping about Lincoln Riley out at USC and if this thing's ever going to get fixed going into the Big Ten. All right, let's move on to Miami and Louisville quickly, David. I want to make sure we get to the get off my lawn before we get to calls here. Miami, it's funny. We're in year 3 under Mario Cristobal. He's what, 12-13 overall as a head coach, right? You know, the Tyler Van Dyke experiment didn't end up working out great. You bring in Cam Ward. That game at Florida, week 1, is worth 3 years in my opinion. And I've said that multiple times. Obviously, we know why for Florida, because if Billy gets off to a bad start, they're probably going to bury him and he's gone. But if Mario loses that game at Florida, after everybody in the offseason has been pointing at Florida and laughing and saying how much of a joke they are, I think Mario, you're going to start hearing a little bit more about maybe this isn't working out. But Miami's offense is going to be dogish. This was a team that defensively I thought was led last year, even though they let them down in kind of some key moments. The turnovers weren't great last year. But you got Cam Ward. You got Damian Martinez. You've got a damn good offensive line. You've got Restrepo coming back. You've got pieces on the outside. Miami could have a top 10 offense in the country easily. Cam Ward could be a Heisman finalist very, very easily. The question to me becomes, defensively, have you replaced the guys well enough to be able to operate in the top 20, top 25, which I think they should. It still is Miami. Blaine, I'll start with you on this one. What do you think about the Hurricanes overall?
They're almost in the same boat as Nebraska to me, but a little bit ahead. Like, I think this will be another year where Miami finally becomes relevant in college football. College football needs Miami to be relevant, especially back in the day. When's the last time Miami was Miami? I mean, 2017.
But the guy from Stained, it's been a while.
And you bring in this talent you have up front. If you look at their schedule, Miami has a real opportunity here to win a lot of football games. Cam Ward right now is plus 20,000 to win the Heisman. $20,000, that's $100, that's 20 bands in your pocket. What teams are you most scared of on the schedule? Florida on the road is huge. Louisville on the road. Florida State at home, we don't know. Georgia Tech on the road. Miami has the pieces, especially up front. Up front, they will be one of the best offensive lines in the nation, hands down. That's what Mario does. Last year, the games that they lost, how many turnovers did they have in those games? All of them. They had 4 turnovers.
Yeah. I think, Blaine, to answer your question, and David, to kick this over to you, we're looking at their schedule right now. If you're on audio, they go to Florida week 1, Florida A&M at home, Ball State at home, at USF, Virginia Tech at home, at Cal, at Louisville, FSU at home, Duke at home, at Georgia Tech, Wake at home, and then at Syracuse. Right now, just taking out the big games. You beat Florida A&M, you beat Ball State, you beat USF, you beat Cal, you beat Duke, you beat Wake Forest, you beat Syracuse. All right, so that's seven right there, unless I counted wrong.
You're right.
Right? So that game at Florida, everybody talks about it's going to make or break Billy Napier. David, I think it's going to make or break Mario Cristobal. I really honestly believe that because they go win that one at the Swamp. You get them next year at home, game one, which is huge, but you beat them at the Swamp. Now all of a sudden, there is a great chance you are 4-0 hosting a Virginia Tech team who I think is going to be pretty good that people are sleeping on a little bit. Very good chance you're 6-0 going to Louisville, a team we're going to talk about in a second. And we're talking about Miami possibly winning the ACC and going to the college football playoff. But if you lose that game at Florida, David, I could see it causing a ton of problems from a momentum, locker room, you know, standpoint.
I think Miami wins double-digit games, and I'm very close to picking them to win the conference. I think they got the best quarterback out of the transfer portal, not just the transfer portal. Remember, Cam Ward declared for the NFL draft. We thought he was gone from college football. They certainly got the most dynamic quarterback. I mean, Riley Leonard's quite good, too, in terms of, you know, what they're able to do on the football field and how good of pros they're going to be able to be. But Miami landing Cam Ward, I think, elevates them to a position to be able to win the conference. And the momentum may get derailed if they lose at Florida, which I think is the most important opening game and one of the top five most important non-conference games we'll see throughout the entire season. The momentum may be derailed if they go and they lose in Gainesville, which they could do. But just keep in mind, for the same reasons that we were talking about some of these other non-conference games, you can still win the ACC.
Without a doubt.
And in an expanded college football playoff, they could still make the playoff as an at large, but they could win getting in by winning the conference. So look, I like what they're set up to do. Can Mario Cristobal figure it out and be the coach that Miami thought they were getting when he came over from Oregon? That's really the question.
Very true. Blaine?
I mean, let's remember who Cam Ward is. He's averaged 311 yards passing last year, and that's the best in the nation.
That was his average?
Yeah, you brought Cam Ward in to be the difference. And if you look at the schedule.
Him and Restrepo together?
The one guy I'm excited to watch.
Jelly,
Restrepo.
Dude.
He's the chosen one.
Yeah. He's their Ricky Pearsall. He truly is. All right, going to get to Louisville in 1 second. Going to get to your phone calls here in 1 second as well. Do want to let y'all know, whether you're a Miami fan, whether you're a USC fan, whether you're a Big Ten fan, whether you're an SEC fan, or whether you just have a fan in your room, you want to look good. All right, you want to feel good. All right, whether you're a seasoned gym goer, you're just starting your fitness journey. God, I can't read today. You need a journey. You need FitBod. What is FitBod? It's a fitness app that customizes each workout based on your goals and adapts them as you improve. Because sticking to the same old routine can lead to burnout. It can lead to a plateau in results. You want to be able to mix it up. As White Goodman said, you got to keep the body guessing. All right, the FitBod app creates a personalized workout based on your goals, fitness level, and available equipment. So what's around you, you don't have to just run to a Planet Fitness or a Globo Gym or whatever. The workout adapts to your growth. So each workout is challenging enough to push you to help make progress. They help you learn new movements. They've got over 1,400 HD demonstration videos so you don't screw it up. It's like having a personal trainer, but it's cheaper and it's better. So add FitBod to your workout essentials today. Join FitBod and get your personalized workout plan and get 25% off looking 100% better, or try the app free at fitbod.me/booster. That's FITBOD.ME/booster. Get fit. Figure it out.
Get fit.
Get fit. Bod. All right, Louisville, and then get off my lawn, then phones, guys. Let's get to Louisville here.
You want their schedule?
Let's pull their schedule up. I want to run a little trivia by you guys. Fun nugget here for our audience. What defense finished number one in the ACC last year? What defense
Ron English
number one in Ron the red English's. Zone in the country last year? It's Louisville. You think Jeff Brohm, you think what offense? Just like I see Kool-Aid Man, I think Kool-Aid. But no, it was the defense, very opportunistic, did a fantastic job in the red zone. And I think they got a chance to be even better. They got one of the best pass rushers in the country coming back. I like what they did in the portal. But then you look offensively. Look, I like Jack Plummer, and he was a good piece. If Tyler Shook can stay healthy, and that's a big if, all right, that's a big if. He can do a lot more things than Plummer could. I think he could be way more dangerous in this Louisville offense. And if you look at the pieces around him, this could be a great encore of what was a shocking year last year from Louisville. Even if you ask Louisville fans, I like what they're cooking up over there. I think they're going to be a balanced team. And we always say it, what balance keeps you on the beam? So they get Austin Peay at home, Jacksonville State at home, and Georgia Tech at home. All right, with Georgia Tech, that's not going to be a walk in the park. We're going to know a lot more about them after they play Florida State overseas there in Ireland. Jacksonville State ain't a walk in the park either. But then you go to Notre Dame, you get SMU at home, new ACC member. You go to Virginia, Miami at home, at BC, at Clemson, at Stanford, Pitt at home, and then at Kentucky. So just looking in conference, I mean, you do got Clemson and Miami, but you get Miami at home, right? And outside of that, within the conference, the road tests really aren't that bad. I mean, you go to Virginia, you go to BC, you go to Stanford. I mean, David, I would not be surprised if we look up here and Louisville drops a 9-3 on us or somewhere around there.
Yeah, and look, defensive coordinator Ron English, he was my DC when I was at Michigan. Man, I was proud to play for him. I'm proud of the job they were able to do last season. If Louisville is able to replicate not just the success they had a season ago, not just in terms of win losses, but in terms of the physicality that they bring to the football field, I think they could establish themselves the way that Utah was able to do these last couple years in the Big 12 and say, you know what? We're just going to flat out beat you by having the best defense on the field and doing what we need to do on offense. I mean, remember when I was coming out of high school, I got recruited by Bobby Petrino. They had the number one offense in the nation the year
before. I still think of offense.
I still think of offense. Right? And Brohm, like Brohm, that's why I love Brohm, like, is such a great perfect fit as the head coach because they are going to be more than efficient on offense. But this defense under Ron English imposing that physical mentality and winning football games like that at a time when the conference needs it. All this, you know, distractions of conference realignment and you got high-flying offenses, this and that. Louisville has a chance to say, hey, why don't we be the toughest team in the conference? And there's only a matter of time before that translates into being the best team.
I agree with that.
100%. I mean, look at how teams are winning national championships. If you're going to do, you have to run the ball and do what? Play defense. Jeff Brohm, absolute offensive guru. Look, I think if you watched Louisville last team, what held him back? I think it was Plummer in big games and big moments. If the quarterback can be the difference, I think Louisville can. That tier of Tennessee, Louisville, A&M, Miami, and Nebraska, that tier right there has a lot of dark horse mentality.
I'd throw Virginia Tech in there, too.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
I really would.
I would say, they got hot and late in the season. I just got to see a little bit more from the quarterback.
No, I agree with that. But again, Jeff Brohm and his encore. All right, we want to know what you guys think, but it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right, and we know every Wednesday, this tall drink of water sitting to my left, he has a lawn.
Big
all right, a lot of people get on it. He's down. We've played cornhole on his lawn. We've shared a couple cold sodas. But David, somebody's on your lawn, and they need to get their ass off. Who is it?
Keith Olbermann needs to get off my lawn.
He cries pee.
This segment could last all week, given the plethora of vile comments Mr. Olbermann has made over the years, but we'll start with the most recent. Following the assassination attempt of President Donald Trump, several Major League Baseball players celebrated home runs by holding a fist in the air and a hand over their ear. This prompted quintessentially unhinged responses from former sports commentator Keith Olbermann, who first posted, quote, a reminder that there is still no evidence Trump was hit by a bullet and still lots of evidence he is lying about it. Unquote. This was followed by a call to disband the entire St. Louis franchise as well as to destroy its ballpark. He goes, quote, attention MLB, ban these guys from baseball for life, confiscate the Cardinals franchise and implode the stadium. Implode the stadium. Are you serious? And you wonder why gunshots are being fired at a former president? He continues, quote, Cardinals equal Trump Nazis, stick to sports, F the St. Louis Cardinals. America has had enough of this blank, unquote. I'll tell you what America has had enough of, the hateful and ignorant drivel which spews from your mouth decade upon decade. Your actions are beneath the standard for what should constitute a professional, and they are beneath my standard for what constitutes a man. You are the same individual who called our friend Riley Gaines a nasty, stupid, unsuccessful transphobe. Why? Because she spoke out against being forced to change in locker rooms with men, you should apologize forthwith, not just to her, but to every female athlete who has been doomed to a similar fate, coerced by threats, also that coastal Ivy League elitists such as yourself can continue to feign some misguided sense of moral superiority and the audacity you have to utter stick to sports. This is the double standard shows like ours fight against every day. The legacy media will allow value, in fact, encourage you to deviate from sport so long as you make statements they sanction. The moment you stand on principle or showcase a backbone is when they call you a Nazi or bigot or whichever word of the week is in vogue. There's no wonder why people are fleeing from the establishment media in droves and flocking to shows like Crane and Company, telling us every day, you saved sports for me, and they mean it. Mr. Olbermann, your rhetoric has for some time now been demented, disturbing, and disrespectful to the point that I recommend you retire from public life immediately. But since I cannot control that, I will demand, and this is long overdue, that you get off my lawn.
Yes.
Tell him, Dave.
Yes, Dave. Yes. Look, I'm going to get to the phone lines here in a second, back to the chat. But I feel like you should be able to say what you believe. But at some point, I feel like exile needs to be brought back.
Where would you exile Keith Olbermann to?
Well, you know, they always say, like, in the military, if, like, you go against the grain, they just banish you to, like, some post in Siberia. I feel like Siberia would be a great place. I feel like he would love Russia this time.
Yeah. Y'all remember watching him on SportsCenter?
Dude, that's the saddest part.
I never watched
that. That was prime SportsCenter.
No, that's the saddest part.
Keith Olbermann reminds me of the South Park episode when Cartman, they're all playing WoW, and he's down there all in the basement. He's like, man.
Yeah,
that's what Keith Olbermann writes.
I just want to make, it's not just agreeing or disagreeing or whatever issues. Like, I don't even know where he stands
on issues.
I don't agree with Robert Griffin III on most things. I could sit down right now and have a friendly
conversation. But here's the problem. Like, Keith Olbermann, and this is where you pigeonhole yourself, he went from somebody that people listen to about sports to now that the only way he can stay relevant because he said so many crazy things is to say crazy things. So now you're just looked at as a guy that says crazy things, as opposed to being somebody that says, hey, typically I'm gonna talk about this in a normal, legible way, and I may have a take or an opinion sometimes that may be extreme, considered by some, but people will listen to you because you've been a rational person. Keith Olbermann has lost that, which means he's lost his career. And you can't, after he said the things that he said, you can't come back from that. So I think the saddest person in this all is Keith Olbermann, because he took something that was beautiful, him on SportsCenter and being somebody that other people looked up to, not that you have to disagree with everything he says, and he's thrown it all away because now he feels like that's the only way he can get publicity. So I think you were exactly right on that whole thing. It's sad for me to watch. And, again, I think he should be exiled to Siberia. But, all right, you want to get to calls?
All right, let's do it. Let's go to King Don in Little Rock. King Don, what's up?
All right, we got a timer on calls, so we got to be quick.
Ah, darn it. Okay, I got to go fast. I'm calling about Jordan Love and his whole contract thing. I think the main reason, from what I've heard so far, I follow way too much Packer stuff, is why he hasn't signed a contract yet, is the Jordan Love deal. I mean, not the Jordan Love, the Trevor Lawrence deal kind of reset things. Because he's had one good season and a playoff win, and so has Jordan Love. They basically had the same career, just Jordan Love has had less bad seasons. So yeah. He's like, okay, the price just went up, so now he's got to at least get the $55 million or whatever. And also, I kind of want to just, and it's not like it's unfriendly or anything. I mean, the other day when the offense got their butt kicked in training camp, Matt LaFleur made them all do push-ups, and Jordan Love did the push-ups with them too. So it's not like they're on bad terms or anything. He's still laughing, and he was on the sidelines laughing with Gutekunst, the GM. But and I do think, though, contrary to some people might think, Blaine, I think he does kind of deserve to get a big contract. I mean, and people are like very quickly going ahead and anointing C.J. Stroud, and they're not anointing Jordan Love because of consistency, but
Gotcha. King Don, thanks for the call. Here's what I'll say. I feel like every time a quarterback gets a new contract, it resets the market. I wouldn't worry about the team chemistry or anything like that, because all those guys up there know it's a business and they all go through it because they're in contracts with themselves. That's why I think the difference between the NFL and the way they handle the money is going to be very interesting when you contrast that to college football, because these guys aren't used to having other players deal in the money kind of contractually with the NIL, and that may hurt some feelings. I don't think it'll affect the Packers at all. And listen, if you're Green Bay, you made a bet on Jordan Love. Right, you move on from Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, a Hall of Famer, right? And you put this guy in, and he does well. So now you're going to double down on the bet that you already made, and you should, because at least so far, you have been vindicated and made to seem right. What are you going to do? Just guess that he's going to end up being trash and not pay him the money and then create problems in the locker room? I think you're almost boxed in a good way. I'd rather be boxed in that way. And Jordan Love knows you're boxed. Everybody's boxed in a good way.
I think that's a good point, actually, because I was feeling like I couldn't pay a guy $55 million a year after 1 year sample size. I don't care how good it is, because we see the sophomore slump so often. Wouldn't pay C.J. Stroud that much money either, King Don. But the Packers haven't seen him for 1 year. The Packers have seen him for multiple years.
They planned on
this.
They've
seen him in the practice squad, and they bet on him and said, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, Aaron Rodgers, bye-bye, we're fine. We're fine. And they bet on themselves, and they were right this past year. Still, $55 million a year is a lot for someone you have one season sample size with, but that's the quarterback market.
And that's the era we live in.
Be the starter of the Packers or not.
Yep. Very true. And they got a good track record.
Thanks for that info, King Don. We appreciate it, man.
No problem.
All right, let's go to Craig in California. Craig, what's going on?
What's up, boys? How you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Craig, what's up?
Great, man. Craig.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it pretty simple here. With the FanDuel odds of Arizona being at 8th best in the Big 12 and their win total of 7.5, it feels really disrespectful considering their top two weapons in North Fafita and Tet McMillan are still there.
Yeah.
And with the players that they added at the running back position in Quali Conley, who played under Brent Brennan in San Jose State, and Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt from New Mexico, I think they have the potential to be an extremely explosive offense. And I honestly think they can win at least 10 games, 11. If everything breaks their way, I think they could also even run the table and win the Big 12 at 13-0. What do you say?
Well, Craig, first off, I think one transfer from San Jose State you didn't mention was the linebacker that they're bringing over that is an absolute dog. People are going to know his name very, very soon. What's funny is, you know the part about Arizona I trust the least? It's not the personnel. It's their new head coach. Not that I think he's a bad head coach, right? I don't think he's fantastic. Now, they did some things, you know, during his tenure that were pretty impressive. It just feels like Jed Fish kind of left them high and dry and they had to make a quick decision. But I promise you this, Craig, I would rather have really good players and a coach I don't know about than players I don't know about and a really good coach. I will always take the first one of those two. But I think another thing that Arizona has that's a little bit underrated is the same thing that Kansas has now, which is confidence, which is we can actually do this. There's even though the coach is gone, your main pieces, obviously the quarterback, talking about Noah, and then McMillan, who's one of the best wide receivers nobody ever talks about. I would not be shocked if Arizona did anything. Now, do I think they're going to run the table? Probably not after seeing that schedule, but I would not be surprised at all if they finished in the top four in the Big 12. And maybe even better if they get it rolling. Because I just like the toughness of some of the guys they have in important spots. I just need to see the coaching operation, but I would much rather have the problem I mentioned than the opposite of that problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I do like the fact that Dino Babers is our OC, and he likes to use his running backs a lot. So that could be a boon to their offense as well.
Oh, it could. And I think Dino Babers, not that he was the most amazing coach of all time when he was at Syracuse, but I think he actually helps Brent a little bit coming over, right? To acclimate a little bit more to the Power Five life. He's an older coach that has been a head coach that he can kind of lean on in different parts of the country geographically to be able to recruit as well. So I think it's a good point, Craig. It's a good call.
You boys have a great day.
Appreciate
it, Craig.
All right, let's go to Brian in Nebraska. Brian, talk to us.
Hey, fellas. It's been a little while since I called in, so congrats, Jay. My wife's super jealous that you got a girl.
I can't wait. I'm going to spoil her, and I get to get another gun.
Dude, it's the best thing on the planet. But I can't wait for football season to start. And I'm so pumped because in about a week and a half, Nebraska has an open practice, and I'm going to take our 2.5-year-old for his first experience at Memorial Stadium, and it is going to be awesome.
No, it's look. I'll go back to what I said. Boy, you picked a good day to tune back in, Brian from Nebraska.
Yeah, you picked
it. Yeah, I'm sure you saw the title of the episode, and it probably you know, could feel it down in your plums a little bit. But no, I, again, just as a Nebraska fan, I want to ask you this, Brian. Is this the most confident you've been? And I'm not even talking about this year, but just for the future of Nebraska football, trying to get back to that point, is this the most confident that you've been in a really long time?
Oh, I mean, hands down. And even like with Scott Frost, I mean, obviously the prodigal son and all that. But when he was a player, you know, there was some friction there, especially he went to Stanford, then came back. I mean, but winning cures everything. But I don't know. It seemed like the honeymoon got over real quick for Scott with Scott. And I don't know. Rule can talk. So he gets some jazz, and I don't know. I'm confident. I don't see why not.
How many wins this year?
I mean,
give me a number.
I'm going to say 9.
I think it's doable.
That'd be a heck of a season.
I think it's doable. I'm just
Kool-Aid, baby. That Kool-Aid's
I'm just
17 turnover.
Yeah, it's I need to see Dylan. Dylan needs to be able to survive some of the mistakes he's going to make earlier. But that Colorado game, them boys will be out for blood after last year. They're going to be out for blood.
You got to win 2 or 3 of those last 5.
Yeah, so that place is going to be rocking.
I want to go to Colorado game so bad because it is going to be insane. But we're due to have our 3rd child like 4 days after that.
Well, again, look, there's only a couple things that are more important than college football, and that's one of them. Believe me, I'm going to be in the same boat in January.
All right. Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it, Brian. Let's go to Jared in Seattle. Jared, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Just needed some marital advice.
Please. You came to the right spot. I'm basically Dr. Rick now.
Blaine's like, I got this one.
Yeah, we'll let Blaine take it.
Yeah.
No, I could use Blaine's help because I feel like Blaine probably still has a little bit of himself kind of more than I do at this point.
oh, no. Jared, what's the matter?
You're safe here, Jared.
Man, so long story short, like when I moved to Pacific Northwest, my wife told me I was able to travel to one college football game every single month. So I went ahead and I planned out the entire fall, already have tickets to all the games. We're already ready to go for every single month. So my wife, she went to Gonzaga, but her parents both went to Washington. So in football, she cheers for Washington because Gonzaga doesn't have a football team. Mm-hmm. So anyway, long story short, on November the 9th, my Missouri Tigers are hosting Oklahoma. So I already have tickets to go back to Missouri. We're going to go to the game. It's going to be a fun day. But last week, Penn State announced that their whiteout game is going to be Washington, which is the same day as Missouri-Oklahoma. So now she's saying that she wants to pivot from my calendar that I've already planned, and she really wants to go to the whiteout game. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how I should handle this. I know, David, you've been to that game. Is it worth changing my trip?
Yes, and you get to make the wife happy. You get to experience the whiteout when Washington comes to town and make the wife happy. I'm telling you, man, just do that.
Well, can I throw this in here? Number one, this is a great problem to have. Compared to other married people's problems, deciding whether you're going to go to the Missouri or the Penn State game, guys are really
winning are good.
Right now, Jared, in a great way. Here's what I would say. Here's what worries me about going to watch my own team, the team that I root for, play. Like going far. How awesome would it be, all right, to go, you make your wife happy, you go to the whiteout, everybody's happy, right? It's a great game, whatever. Penn State's probably going to win that game, all right? So we'll see what happens. But then Missouri, let's say, God forbid, they lose to Oklahoma, and you're not there to have to go through it. Not only that, because think about the highs and the lows. You go to Washington, Penn State beats Washington. Your wife's upset, right? But you guys went to the game. All right, you went to that game for her. You're accumulating points. You got the equity. The stock's going up. As opposed to, you say, no, we're going to watch my team play at Missouri, and Missouri loses to Oklahoma, and then Washington beat Penn State in the whiteout, and your ass is driving to the airport with an upset wife, and you took tokens away. So that's the way I look at everything.
Oh, well, here comes Blaine.
The way I look at it.
Here Jared. Comes Blaine.
First off, what would make you happy? All right, what game?
Boy, that's
what,
the worst advice.
Game
that
you,
could not have been
what
worse
What game do you
advice.
Want to go to? And let's flip it on the other side. What if you do go to the Washington-Penn State game and Penn State wins? Our Washington wins, who cares? But you turn on the TV, all right, and you go see what happened in that Missouri-Oklahoma game,
and Missouri, 10 seconds left, catches a 90-yard bomb.
Y'all won. Oklahoma. You're happy.
No, you're mad because you know why? You know what haunts me till this day? All right? That I wasn't on that field when Chris Davis caught that kickoff. That field goal return. If you have the chance, son, it's not about her. It's about you. This is football. This is my time. This is Jared's time.
Okay.
Jared's taking his ass to Missouri.
To all of our young males out there, I love my brother. He can say what he wants. Yeah, you know what haunts me? The thought of my wife being pissed off all of the time. That, you know who I gotta deal with? Missouri. I gotta deal with Washington. I gotta deal with Penn State. I gotta deal with Oklahoma. You know who I deal with way more than that? The person after the show I'm gonna go home and see.
Just go to Missouri and buy her some shit from Amazon, dog. You'll be good.
Jared, what are the costs associated with changing the plans you already made?
I mean, it's definitely not cheap to fly from Seattle.
It's not cheap.
Feel free to bring that up.
It's not cheap, Jared.
Like, hey, I'm going to foot the bill on
you. How much does she care about our finances? That's what I want to know.
Then
I've already planned this. It's already booked, sweetie. Want to change flights?
Sure.
Can't wait. Get in the car.
So this last thing is my wife is director of sales for Ticketmaster. So I actually got to go through her to get the tickets for the game. So that's why I kind of
look. You got to start with that.
You suckered
us, dude.
Thickened.
Now you got to go.
By the way, my wife's Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
So we got to go for free.
Yeah.
All right, Jared. We'll see. Let us know what you decide.
All right. I need an update next week, Jared. I need an update on this next week. Don't let this linger into football season. All right. Thanks for calling. All right. Let's go to Josh in North Carolina. Josh.
God.
What's going on today, man?
Wait, which Josh?
It's Voltor.
I'm just walking in nature right now, boys. I'm just at peace, you know.
I don't like when you start calling.
Put the knife down.
Yeah, let the girl go. Let her go. She just tried to walk into the grocery store.
Oh man.
So there was a caller that called in last week, and he said, you know, I would be one of the callers he would. Ended up forever, and you know, I just wanted to apologize for him. I'm sorry, me and your mom were so loud last night.
Relax.
This is a family.
Relax.
No, okay. Keep going, Josh. Keep going. I want to hear you had this.
There was another caller saying that he hates Oregon. Then he revealed he's a fan of that school in Columbus, Ohio. Buddy, I would worry about the boys that are in maize and blue. Who have beat you 3 years in a row and are the reigning college football national champions, the Michigan Wolverines.
I don't like when you and David agree on stuff.
That's my call.
Are we best friends now?
It's weird.
Are we best friends now, Malta?
We are best friends. I got that whiskey and the cigar ready for you in October.
Oh, dude, it's going to be great. Booster Club tailgate's going to be elite. I can't wait. All right, Josh, hey, congrats on the national championship. Glad that you know, David broke the curse.
There was no
curse.
Yes,
he did. He broke it forever.
He did.
Did he, though? Read,
you know. He did.
Did he, though?
He is your white knight.
I was on a rocky top down in Tennessee. Hey, there's a statue already outside of Knoxville, and I assembled it myself. You all should go see it. 10 foot tall.
Hey, I love it. It's like Hey Arnold. It's like the statue.
No, it's not like Hey Arnold.
It is like that.
Move it, football head.
Yeah. All right, Josh.
Appreciate it, Josh. Thanks, man. All right, that was the last caller for today, y'all.
All right, let's get to the chat. We've got about 10 minutes, and then I'm going to get up and do bets in a minute when I just feel like it.
All right, let's go to Snake Herder. I really hope you don't do that, brother.
Yeah, that doesn't
If you do do that, like, trust me, you're safer. He wants to know.
He calls girl in high school.
Snake, don't do that.
Just keep going.
Don't do that. It's a family show, dog.
It is a family show. She heard a bunch of snakes.
He said, keep sleeping on USC, boys. Lincoln Riley wins Coach of the Year. Miller Moss wins Heisman.
You know, I've never tried crystal meth.
Look.
I always wondered what it would
Lincoln
be
Lincoln Riley's fourth Heisman Trophy winner is Miller Moss.
Nobody is saying that, like...
If he wins a Heisman, I'm using my fifth year of unused eligibility to go play for Lincoln Riley.
I just don't see it happening. Again, it's 2024, man. Whatever. Anything can happen. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. But you're a snake herder.
Hey, are we going to talk about Matt Rhule saying that the Big Ten deserves four teams in? Or
I mean, why? What else is he going to say? Like, this is why I laugh when people are like, oh, this coach was...
No.
He said the Big Ten's the best. What is he supposed to go up there and be like, man, we're definitely the second best.
So we're okay with people getting on podiums and blatantly lying.
He said this is the NFL of college
That's called
football.
Life.
Okay.
go outside.
Okay, what was worse, that or the UCLA coach?
Oh, that
his
was
statement
bad.
Today.
Well, you can't.
Do we have that video?
We do have that video. You want to pull it up?
Play that video.
Deshaun Foster, the new UCLA coach.
Not a great start.
Let's go ahead and let's play this.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A.
It's literally in the name.
It's us and USC.
Oh.
We,
Oh, God.
It's got some...
Someone save him, dude.
Really, that's it. Any questions?
Just start with that.
Yeah. Look, know your strengths, right? Like, look, I don't need... If you can coach ball, I don't need you going up there to the press conference like Jeffrey Chaucer. Like, I don't need you going up there like Bruce Buffer. Read a book. God, you went to Spanish War and they just taught you.
Yeah.
Run
a post and shut up.
Yeah. Here's my thing, though. If you know, like, it feels like somebody just told him, like, oh, like, Deshaun, you got to go speak. He's like, what? Like, we got to talk?
But even then, how do you close recruits?
Dude, like you said.
Say whatever you do to close recruits.
Mike Leach it.
Just Mike Leach it. Any questions?
Any questions? Hey, I'm Deshaun Foster.
Two words.
We're excited to be in the Big Ten. We're trying to win some football games.
Yeah, y'all got any questions?
We're better than USC.
Not, I'm out. You know what? I will thank you for that. You made this easier, but you can't.
What was worse, that or the national anthem we heard the other day?
Oh, the national anthem. That was bad. That was bad.
The national anthem.
My ears went to rehab after that. It was so bad. No,
but hey, now the bar is pretty low. You can overperform now, at least on the.
Oh, I can't wait! I'm singing the one at the next All-Star game. I'm gonna let it ride, dog. I'm talking about falsetto.
Oh boy!
It's gonna JMacPoy7 says Nebraska. They fired the coach after a winning season. Yes, but for good reasons. That fans have unrealistic expectations that have yet to come down. Nebraska football performance is more like the RNC to me.
I don't see Hulk Hogan and Lincoln, but it's what are we saying? Like they'll never be good again. Like that's just it. Like, yeah, they should have fired Scott Frost, but they'll just never be good again. I don't believe that. I don't think Nebraska's ever going to be back to what they were. I don't think Miami's going to ever be back to what they were. I don't think Alabama's going to be back to what they were. It's hard to do that over a long period of time, especially with the way the sport is now, but I mean, I think Nebraska's on the right track to be able to get up there and be able to tango with the big boys. I don't see the, oh, it'll never happen crowd. That just has never made sense to me.
All right, let's go to the Nittany Lion. He says, right now, Drew Aller, to me, is a top five quarterback in the Big Ten, but can he be the difference in big games, especially the one at Ohio State?
That's the biggest question, right? I think you could, if you're going to make the argument he's the top five quarterback in the Big Ten, I would say against all the teams that aren't the best. And that's not what you want at Penn State. You know, you guys at Penn State, it probably feels like y'all just window shop all the time. Oh, man, almost got enough money saved up to go in there and buy that piece of jewelry. But I can't yet because damn Ohio State and Michigan keep running there and buying everybody out of it. Like, I don't think we know about Drew Aller. I think you're optimistic because you're a Penn State fan, and I get that. And I think there should be some optimism around Drew Aller with some things that we've seen. But I don't know how you can go all in on the guy after seeing how he's performed in the games that matter the most. I'm not there yet. And maybe, again, bringing in Sotnecki from Kansas, maybe he can be the one that comes in there and rights the ship, and I hope he does because I know Drew wants it, and I know the Penn State fans have, you know, been foaming at the mouth for it.
All right, let's go to Hawk Tua Harris. What's up? It says, that interview kind of felt like the Ricky Bobby waiting for my hands moment.
Yeah, no, it just felt like they're like, oh, Deshaun, by the way, yeah, you got to go speak. And he's like, oh, okay. I don't know how, when it's your first year, especially as the head coach at a place, you either one of two things. One, have a speech prepared that is on paper. I would rather you go out there and read that than do what you did. Or number two, be like, listen, I'm not a speech guy, like unless it's before a game. So I'm going to go out there, like David said, hey, excited to be at UCLA. Big Ten's awesome. You know, let's all come together and be friends. Any questions?
Come together.
There we go. There we go. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. All right, I'm going to get to bets, and we'll get to donuts.
Bets,
then we're going to get up out here.
Bets.
And my left leg update is asleep. Here we go. Oh, man, it's really asleep.
Wobble on back there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's my bad hip. Here's what I got today.
Check that out.
1-1 yesterday. Give me the Mariners. -1.5. Just row that ship where it needs to be. That's at +170. Then the Indians. That's right. You heard it. The Indians out of Cleveland. Money line. -140.
I like those bets. Hit
postponed
my Nerfy yesterday. Postponed yesterday. They played it today. Did the Braves lose? They were losing.
Ooh, baby, I love
anyway, I had the Braves -1.5.
Yeah, 9-4.
Okay, so I lost that bet.
Damn it.
That was postponed until today. But I'm going to take the Rangers today, -1.5 and -135, and the Royals money line, -125. I like this Royals team more and more.
Kansas City.
Okay, 0-2 yesterday.
Good barbecue.
The big boys for the Yankees let me down again, just like everybody in the organization.
Hey, Gleybar hit one.
Who?
Gleybar.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I didn't bet on him to hit one. Thanks for bringing that up. But today we're going back to the book, and that is a Nerfy -142 of the Angels Mariners. I did do a Nerfy for the Reds Braves game, and that didn't turn out well. So 0-1 on the day. Got to make sure I take bets after show.
Come on, man.
The little things, Crane.
Come on, man.
The little things.
They build up to the what?
God!
The big things. All right, let's get to donuts.
All right, let's get to these donuts. If you donated today, thank you so much. Let's go to a $5 donation from Caleb Richer. What's up, Caleb? Nebraska has only one for sure loss in Ohio State. I think if the turnover problem is fixed, we can win 10, if not 11 games.
That would be the attic that's on top of the ceiling. That's we catch a couple breaks. Dylan really is him. Five best rappers I've ever seen. Dylon. And Dylon. I think 9's the ceiling, but you know, the Ohio State game's going to be tough. Colorado, week 2, I'm going to keep going back to it. That's the momentum builder. That's all of a sudden the loan got approved. Like, now we're feeling good about it. Let's go build the ice cream shop and start selling it to all the kids.
All right, $10 donation from The U. Am I crazy to put a hundo stack on Cam Ward to win the Heisman?
No, not. You said it's +20,000?
Yeah. +20,000.
+20,000 or +2,000?
20,000.
+20,000. I don't think that's stupid at all.
I can't believe
that. Because you've got, pull up Miami's schedule real quick, Justine, you bet there. Pull up their schedule one more time. I'm going to see what games you have a chance to have a Heisman moment in.
Week 1.
Florida State. Week 1.
You know, week 1 against Florida, yes. There's not a ton there, but that's not, you know, Louisville, we'll see. But that's not a bad thing. You go ball out the way that we know Cam Ward can ball out with Restrepo, with, you know, Damian Martinez and the guys they got around him. I don't think that's a bad bet at all. I'd put a hundo on him and a 100 on Jackson Dart. That's what I'd do.
Jackson Dart's odds aren't that far off either. F3 Shake and Bake, $5 donation. Miami is losing at USF, and you'll see Alex Golish at UF next year.
Like Golish a lot.
$5 donation from Ryan. Appreciate it. With McAfee announcing he's coming back to College Game Day this year, some people didn't like him on it and some did. Where do you guys stand?
Well, there may be a new Game Day show that comes out on Saturdays everybody's talking about. I think Pat does a good job on it. I don't really watch it because, you know, we do our own thing. But Corso coming back. I love Lee Corso. Lee Corso's the man. All right, he really is. He is Game Day. But, dude, how many times are we going to do this? So now, what week is it that everybody's going to cry? Week 8. And how bad, like, really is he?
I'm a David Pollock guy.
Me too.
DP, baby.
Don't like what they
I'm
did.
I'm a David Pollock guy too, though, deep down.
$5 donation, last donation of the day from Booster Club Cards. I need a straight answer, fella. What happened to the Buckeyes I sent? Did Jake and Blaine hog them all 50 that I sent and Cone didn't get any?
50?
I need the deets.
We need to find those or they're going to go bad.
Yeah, who has our stuff?
Like, I don't, like, stuff disappears.
It really
send,
does.
Like everything
Chris
they
Farley
send us.
Who's,
that's what I'm saying. Like, somebody's Chris Farley.
It's like the Drake passage.
Like, who eats 30 sack lunches? Apparently somebody that works here. Because I want those, because those are good. They're a mixture of chocolate and peanut butter. You could put them on a dog turd, and they'd probably be good.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. That's tough.
You haven't had a wolf eye?
Let's not do this. $5 donation from Devin. The worst part about Keith's tweet was that the gesture had nothing to do with the assassination attempt. His vile comments were based on a false premise.
Yeah, Keith Olbermann's whole
I read post that, like, ESPN. Stud, boy. Post. Poll, who's ready? Are you? Are
yeah,
you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm going to do my
no
part.
No poll today. Sorry, guys. I know.
He's lying.
I know. Poll, will Nebraska win more than 7.5 games?
Oh. Oh, yeah. I'm going to say yes, David, and I'm going to put it at a cool 71%.
Yes, 72%. Come
Woo!
On, Nebraska fans.
Yes, 51.
Wow. Hate, hate, hate. All right, we appreciate you guys. Got a great show for you tomorrow. Tons of stuff going on, obviously, with all the media days, all the stuff in the sports world. We appreciate you checking us out. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get ready to watch Matt Walsh's new documentary, which... And these documentaries are becoming more real life by the day. Just like the chances of Lincoln Riley and them fitting in the Big Ten good, I'm going.
Batman!
Gone! That's a backhand, fellas. Oh, boy.